show, The Breakfast Club.
Man, what the hell is this, man?
Breakfast Club, bitches.
I'm glad they put y'all together. Y'all are like a mega force. Y'all just took over every...
Wake your punk ass up.
This Chris Brown. I've officially joined The Breakfast Club. Say something, mother...
I'm with it.
The world's most dangerous morning show. Breakfast Club, bitches.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Yo.
Good morning.
Good morning, DJ MV.
It's Tuesday. How you feeling today, Yee?
What's up with your voice?
I'm a little tired. I'm going to tell you
why. Tuesday.
You know, once a week, I do date night. Me and the wife, we just go out and we just have a good time. And that's what you should do with your spouse, your girlfriend, your boyfriend. You should have date night at least once a week where it's just you and her, no kids, no other people. And we went on a date last night and dinner was at 8 and we didn't leave the restaurant until like 1 a.m. We were just having conversation. It just, the time just went. We were just having conversation. It was good conversation. But it was in the city, so I didn't get home until like 2 a.m.
And now?
And now I'm tired as hell.
It's like hosting a party.
It's like hosting a party, right. You know, same thing. You're drinking. You're having a good time. You're talking. We're dancing. And then like next thing I know, it's late as hell. I'm like, God, I got to go to work in the morning.
Well, I did this panel yesterday called Winning Plays with Stacey Tisdale. She's been on The Breakfast Club before.
Mm-hmm.
She's an award-winning journalist that teaches about finances.
Mm-hmm.
And it was exciting because I got to meet Gloria Steinem.
Okay.
Iconic feminist. It was about black feminism.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a great night. I learned some wonderful stories about people that were there. Yeah, so I'll be updating you guys on what happened, but it's going to actually be on The Griot today if you want to check it out, thegriot.com, the panel of all the women. One woman was on there talking about how her name is Grace, she became a financial planner,
mm-hmm.
but she actually was living in a homeless shelter while she was going to school and managed to get her degree and everything.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So, can't wait to see that. I can see that way on griot.com, you said?
Yes.
Spell it for the people. G-R-I-O?
G-R-I-O.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just making sure. All right. Now, today on the show, Karen Civil will be joining us.
Hey, Karen.
Now, for people who don't know Karen Civil, you explain to the people who Karen Civil is.
How do you explain Karen Civil?
She does a little bit of everything. She's from Elizabeth,
New Jersey.
She does
a lot of branding. She has her own branding company.
She started off as an intern and worked her way up. She's worked with Young Money, Cash Money. She's worked with Beats by Dre. She's worked with Louis Vuitton. She's really doing her thing out there.
Set.
I'm really happy for her.
I actually met Karen back then when I was at Sirius, and she was young. Young lady working for Dipset and then working for Young Money, Cash Money very early on in her career.
All right, so we'll kick it with Karen Silva a little bit later. And we got front page news. What are we talking about?
We are talking about this travel ban. Donald Trump is looking at this as a win because he got some success with this travel ban he's been trying to get through.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. Wake your ass up. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. DJ NV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, last night was the NBA Awards. It was hosted by Drake. And the NBA Most Valuable Player, MVP, goes to Russell Westbrook.
I ain't gonna lie, that award seemed mad stale once you do it after the season is all the way over. Didn't they used to do it during the season at one point?
Did they?
Yeah, like during the finals at least. Yeah, it was during the playoffs.
During the playoffs?
Yeah, it just seemed mad stale at the end of the year. You don't forget what Russell Westbrook did.
Nah, you don't forget what he did. I mean,
how many averaged a triple-double? But when the last time you mentioned that? Before last night.
I mean, season's over now.
Exactly.
So.
My point exactly.
Now let's talk about, we got audio? All right, let's hear audio of him thanking his parents.
I can't say thank you enough. You guys sacrificed everything you've done in your life. Pops, OG, working two jobs, getting up at 4 in the morning, waking me up every night, going to the gym, shooting hoops outside, staying up late, playing the video games, man. To my mom from doing everything to keep our family together. Truly, truly blessed to have you as my mother. It's just so amazing. I couldn't be able to do none of this without you guys.
Dope. Absolutely dope. Now let's get into your president, Yee.
Yes, your president. The Supreme Court has allowed a little watered-down version of the travel ban to take effect for now. They're going to have to revisit this in October. And what they have said is the people from the 6 countries that President Trump has listed for the travel ban can only travel to the United States if they possess a bona fide relationship with the U.S. Now, what does that exactly mean? Definitely going to cause some confusion at the airport. Mm-hmm. But what they are saying, for example, if you're a student or a lecturer and you have a formal relationship, that would count as a bona fide relationship. If you are somebody who has accepted employment with an American company, that would count, but it wouldn't apply to somebody who enters into a relationship simply to avoid the executive order. So you can't just go to a nonprofit group that is devoted to immigration issues and then say, yes, I have a relationship, just to establish that. It's going to be confusing.
That's beyond confusing. Facebook don't even
I
got
that.
I
can't even imagine how you can
Facebook got
determine.
Single, married, complicated, not a bona fide relationship. How do you prove that? What kind of a bona fide relationship?
Now, right now, they're saying refugees being resettled in the U.S. and visa holders will not be impacted by this, but we shall see. Now, Donald Trump tweeted out, great day for America's future security and safety, courtesy of the U.S. Supreme Court. I will keep fighting for the American people and win.
Goodness gracious, I'm confused.
Yeah, I don't even bona fide relationship. That actually is just complicated on Facebook.
It basically allows them to make whatever decision they choose
that
to make.
That they want to make, yeah, right. Absolutely. Now, what else we got from Page News?
We'll talk about Philando Castile's family. They have reached a $3 million settlement, and that is with the city. The settlement came after the officer was acquitted of second-degree manslaughter. Sheesh.
That's whack. I can never congratulate the families on getting that money, because it's blood money at the end of the day. And I know they would much rather have Philando Castile back than have $3 million. So it's not even one of those things where you can be like, yeah, congratulations to the family. Like, no.
Not at all. All right. Well,
that's a terrible consolation prize.
News.
You know, once your loved one gets killed at the hands of the police.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, call us right now. Or maybe you feel blessed and you want to spread some positivity. Phone lines are wide open right now. 800-585-1051. Call us up right now. And don't forget, Karen Civil will be joining us next hour. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Get it, pick up the mother phone and dial.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So you better have the same energy.
Yeah. Ashley.
Yes.
What's going down in Kentucky, mama?
Well, someone stole my engagement ring. Well, I wouldn't say it. I took it off.
Somebody stole her what?
Engagement ring.
Oh.
My engagement ring. So I have a real bad habit, because I work in the health field. So I wash my hands constantly. And I was in the mall, and I went to the restroom, and I washed my hands, and I took it off. And it was about in about 15 minutes, I noticed that I didn't have it, so I go back, and it's, like, super gone.
Yeah. Did your boyfriend believe you when you told him that lie?
Yeah, he did. He's like, we went to the Lost and Found. We went everywhere. No one turned it in. And I feel so bad, because I make more money than him. So it was kind of hard for him to even, like, save up and get it.
Damn.
So I feel really bad. Like, and I was like, don't want to make him feel, like, even worse by, like, going and replace it.
First of all, you should not make him go replace it, because you lost it. That's your bad, all right?
Y'all should work together to replace it.
So you just need to be—you got to be ringless on wedding day.
No, we have to take pictures. I need it.
No. But y'all lost it together, so y'all got to—you mean y'all got to fix it together? Unless what you do is you go get a fake one, and nobody will know the difference.
Yeah, just get a fake one until you get the real one again.
There you go.
For the pictures.
Oh, that's horrible.
That is horrible. Horrible. That just means you got a fake relationship. You can't fake it till you make it when it comes to an engagement.
I mean, can you get the real ring again? Can you guys afford to do that?
Right. I can go get it. Like, I want to go get it. And he's like, no, I just work to go get it. And I'm like, I don't really want him to have to do that, because I feel bad.
Y'all in this together, mama. Everything's together now. Y'all lost it together. Y'all have to get it together. Y'all have to fake it together.
I think you cheated on him. I think you cheated on him and you took your wedding ring off while you was cheating.
It's
I'm
going to
be totally honest with you.
No, we was at the mall together.
Like, you went into the bathroom to get a little quickie with the guy that worked at Auntie Annie's.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you.
Kevin, good morning, Kevin.
Hey, what's going on? DJ Envy, Charlamagne the God, Angel Lee, what's going on?
What's good up,
morning.
Brother?
You from the Bronx? You feel blessed this morning?
Oh, I'm feeling majorly blessed. First of all, I got through to y'all, man. Y'all are, like, my biggest inspiration of all time. Yo, DJ Envy, like, I watch you on Instagram. I love your family.
Thank you, bro.
Angela Lee, yo, everything that you do, like, how you just are as a person is phenomenal. Charlamagne, I just finished a book. And I don't know if you remember me, but I was on the episode of The Breaks. And I had the DJ battle with Mac Wiles. I'm like, do that, like, book.
Oh, yeah, you had the fake penis.
Yeah, man.
I remember.
Of course.
I remember that.
Yeah. That's what he remembers.
Yeah. And,
because that was a big scene in the episode of The Breaks. Idiots. Yeah.
So, you DJ at H&M?
Yeah, H&M in Times Square. I'm there. I'm actually on my way there right now. I'm be there from 8 to 5. I'm there Tuesday through Thursday, 8 to 5. Saturday, Sunday, 5 to 1 a.m.
So you're a real DJ?
Yes, he's a real
DJ. Yeah, I'm a real DJ.
I didn't know he was a real DJ. Yeah. I thought he was an actor.
No. I'm a real DJ, man. You can check me out on Instagram, DJ Sweat the Gent. I go by the gentleman DJ Sweat because I am a gentleman and I am DJ and I get down and
okay.
I wish.
All right.
Well, he's working hard. All so right. Shout out to you. It seems like you're well on your way.
Well, keep pushing, bro.
Yeah.
Have a blessed day, sir.
Man. Thank you, man. You too. And thank you for the book, Sean, man.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. Black Privilege is out right now everywhere.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, you can hit us up. Or if you feel blessed, call us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Wake up.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Andrew, what up, Andrew?
Yo, what's up, Andrew?
Why you mad at me, bro?
Man, I'm mad because you always throwing back the music on Friday instead of Thursday, man. You gotta turn us up on Friday. You should let you do it on Friday.
Oh. Well, we do throw back on Friday, call it Flashback Friday, bro. How old are you?
Oh, man. What do you call it Flashback Friday?
I work all week long. I'm ready to turn up on the weekend. I need to be turned up on Friday, man.
How old are you?
What are you going to do about it, Envy?
I'm 30.
I ain't gonna do nothing about it. We flash back on Friday. That's what we do.
Oh, Jay-Z, I'm out this Friday.
Oh, yeah, well.
you know what that is.
So turn your title on. I know what I'll be listening to on Friday.
You know what I'll be playing this Friday. Malik.
Good morning. How you doing, Envy?
What's up, bro? You calling from Atlanta. Why you mad this morning?
Good morning. This is Malik. Salams, Charlamagne. Good morning, Yee.
Good morning.
I'm a little pissed, man, because I read the settlement for the Castile case, and it seems as if we live in a country that would rather pay millions of dollars in settlement money than to convict a cop. Murder.
That's what it feels like.
Let me kill your son for $1 million.
Yeah, this is outlandish. I mean, they would rather give money than to actually admit to wrongdoing.
And they fired the cop. They fired the cop.
Yep.
They gave him
$1 million. He no longer work as a cop in Minnesota at all. But that does not rectify the real issue and the problem.
I agree, brother. You're absolutely right.
That money is like pacifying people. It's like, oh, okay, well, at least
like
they got
you
a settlement.
It's blood money. It's blood money. Man. It is what it is. Evil bars to all the Muslims out there. Y'all take care, man.
All right, bro.
All right, my brother.
All right, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. Or maybe you feel blessed. You can always call us up. Now, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, let's discuss the NBA awards from last night. You know Drake was hosting, and we got some of his jokes. Let's see if you laugh.
Okay, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are
that
The Breakfast Club.
That song is called Redbone. Kodak Black need to do it over right now and call it Darkbone.
Homage
to these dark-skinned women out here in these streets, okay? Get them back on your side, Kodak Black.
My goodness. Well, let's get to the rumors. Let's talk the NBA awards.
Listen up.
This just in.
All the gossip. The Rumor Report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's The Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
NBA awards were last night. Did anybody in here watch them?
Nope. I didn't.
You were on a date night.
I was on a date night last night. Yep.
All right. Well, Drake was hosting and he kept the show moving. He had a lot of jokes throughout the night. He had a little back and forth with Kenny the Jet Smith. Now, here is what Kenny Smith said about Drake.
That was great material by Drake, but we had a question. Did he write it?
Drop on a clues bomb for Kenny Smith, damn it.
I don't got
no problem with that whatsoever.
Well, here is how Drake responded.
Kenny, somebody just told me about your writing joke backstage. It's wise words from the most expendable member of the TNT crew.
Okay, that's a little stab.
Is Kenny Smith the most expendable member from the TNT crew? I don't think none of them are really expendable, to be honest with you. But
it's a joke.
That's a good little
comeback. You
could
replace Kenny.
It was a comeback.
Now you could. You got Charles on one end, Shaq on one end, Ernie's the anchor. You can replace Kenny.
It was a little stab. I'm sure it hurt.
Drop on the clues bomb for Drake. That was a nice little comeback.
All right, now Kenny, here is some of Drake's moments from the NBA awards.
You got Allen Iverson in here somewhere, probably on a super casual vibe, just connecting with some old friends, you know. Got the Brooklyn Nets in here trying to get verified on Instagram tonight. It's a lot of blue checks coming your way, boys, I promise. I'm legit excited for y'all. Draymond Green stopped kicking people in the groin and moved on to something much worse, his own podcast. It's a tough listen. LeBron James recently went bald and social media had an absolute... Oh, sorry, this is a joke from 2007. We're going to keep it rolling.
Eh, it was a little too fast. You could have slowed that down, paced it a little bit better.
Well, yeah, that's what a lot of people were saying, that it was a little fast.
Because there was one joke in there I like, and I don't even remember because it was too fast. Oh, the Brooklyn Nets joke.
That they didn't get verified. That was funny.
The Nets, no net will ever be verified on social media.
Okay? Well, as we said,
D'Angelo Russell might be because he already verified coming over from the Lakers.
The most valuable player was Russell Westbrook, as we told you earlier. The defensive player of the year was Draymond Green. Coach of the year, Mike D'Antoni. Yeah, so that's just some.
What was Draymond Green wearing? Was that like a suit with shorts? I was confused.
The man's a multimillionaire. Does it matter?
Look at this. Look at his outfit.
I saw it with the little short pants.
Oh, my goodness.
He's a multimillionaire. Does it matter?
Now, the Best Style Award also went to Russell Westbrook as well. So, you guys step it up.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, Leslie Jones, you know, she hosted the BET Awards. By the way, what did you guys think about Leslie Jones as a host?
I didn't see the BET Awards. I saw the BET Awards on Twitter and Instagram. I was on a flight.
All right, well, she is
saying... JetBlue TVs was out that night.
Now that people should not stay at the Ritz-Carlton, she said, wow, it was such a great night at the BET Awards, but then had the worst stay at Ritz-Carlton. Do not stay there. They don't like black people. I don't know what happened in the Ritz-Carlton. But she said she stayed there, and she didn't provide any further details. Her rep would not respond to a request for comment. And the Ritz-Carlton also responded via Twitter. They said, we're sorry to hear this. We pride ourselves on providing excellent service to all. Please DM us, and we'll look into this right away. Another person who had an issue and voiced it on Twitter was Kelly Osbourne. She actually went at Starbucks. She said, shame on you at Starbucks. I pissed my own pants in this location because your shameful employees refused to let me use the toilet. I have... urine in my shoe.
Which one was that? Which location?
It's on. It's in Manhattan on 27th Street and 6th Avenue.
I'm going to be honest with you. Exactly. Don't blame the store just because you peed on yourself. Blame your little loose bowels, all right? Ain't nobody. I'm not going to pee on myself just because the store won't let me use the bathroom. I'm going to find another place to use the bathroom.
But stores are serious. Usually you can go to a McDonald's because they always let the bathroom open. But now they you got
to
get
the
key.
The door is locked.
They have to buy something. Or they have to come back or something like that.
All right, buy something. Buy you a little small green tea and give it to a homeless person if you don't want it. You really want to use the bathroom that bad?
What if there's a line? I got to wait till I buy something to use the bathroom?
I'll go right on somebody's tie outside.
Pay to pee. All you got to do is say, look, I'm about to buy me a green tea, but I got to pee in the meantime. Could you open the door, please? And then when you go in and pee, then you walk out and don't pay for the tea. I do it all the time.
All right.
I've been out here. I do it all the time. And it ain't even just the Starbucks. I do that to any store. When I got to pee or something, and they got them bathrooms that lock, I walk in and be like, yo, I'm going to order something. When I got to pee real quick, though. Can you open the gate? Boom. I'm not hungry again. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Now, what about places that say, because I've read some people saying that they don't have an actual restroom for the public use.
Some stores have that, but
that's what we're talking about.
McDonald's or Starbucks, those should definitely have bathrooms.
I think it also depends
use.
On the size. They said it's a small one. I don't know if they have one for the public or not, but all right.
I'm not blaming me peeing on myself on no damn Starbucks, though.
What? All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report.
All right, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back, we got front page news. What are we talking about, Yeezy?
We are going to be talking about the settlement for Philando Castile's family.
Okay. Yes. All right, well, let's get into some front page news now. Let's talk last night, the NBA Awards. Congratulations to Russell Westbrook. He won the MVP honors. Let's hear him, his speech.
I can't say thank you enough. You guys sacrificed everything you've done in your life. Pops, OG, working two jobs, getting up at 4 in the morning, waking me up every night, going to the gym, shooting hoops outside, staying up late, playing the video games, man. To my mom from doing everything to keep our family together. Truly, truly blessed to have you as my mother. It's just so amazing. I couldn't be able to do none of this without you guys.
Drop on a clues bomb for Russell Westbrook.
That's so sweet.
You know why he started crying? Because he realized he got to go play in Oklahoma City for another year, okay?
He also got best dressed.
That would bring me to tears, too.
Now let's talk about your president, Donald Trump.
Yes, Donald Trump, the travel ban. Here's what's going to happen. The Supreme Court has allowed for the people from the 6 countries listed in Donald Trump's travel ban to only travel to the United States if they have a, quote, bona fide relationship with the U.S. Now, who is that? Of course, that is still going to be subject to interpretation. We don't know what could potentially happen. It sounds like a mess. But what they have said is these are the people who have that bona fide relationship. People with a close familial relationship to someone in the U.S., students that are going to a university in the United States, workers who have accepted an offer of employment from a company in the U.S., and lecturers who are invited to speak to an American audience. Right now, refugees being resettled in the U.S. and visa holders will not be impacted by this travel ban, and they're going going to review this in October, but right now they are letting this limited version go into effect in the meantime.
That's a new Facebook status. You got single, married, complicated, now bona fide relationships. What is bona fide relationships? You only have unprotected sex with people you're in a bona fide relationship with.
That seems crazy.
And that is
crazy.
Definitely subject to interpretation. What's going to happen?
It could be your own rules.
You're at the airport and you might get turned away. You might not, depending on what they decide at that time.
You should only let somebody that you're in a bona fide relationship with toss your salad.
Now, Donald Trump tweeted out, "Great day for America's future security and safety, courtesy of the U.S. Supreme Court. I will keep fighting for the American people and win."
We had a couple abortions, but we're still in a bona fide relationship.
Oh, goodness. What else we talking about?
Because we had a couple of abortions, and she know I got a man girl.
All right.
Philando Castile, his mother reached a nearly $3 million settlement with the city after the officer who fired the fatal shots, Yanez, was actually acquitted. So that's what they got. And just to put it into perspective, the family of Michael Brown, who was the unarmed black teenager killed by the police in 2014, reached a settlement with Ferguson, Missouri.
Blood money.
That was reported to be worth $1.5
million. Blood money.
Cleveland agreed to pay $6 million to Tamir Rice's family.
Blood money.
And there was also a $6 million settlement in the fatal shooting of Dan Roy Henry Jr. in Pleasantville, New York.
Blood money. I can't even feel, you know, happy for those families because that's a horrible, horrible consolation prize. Like, you lost a life, a whole life.
That's priceless. There's no price you can put on that.
A whole flesh and blood individual just got gunned down for no reason and you just throw a check at me and expect all my pain and misery to go away?
Which seems crazy.
Come on, man.
The cop got fired. The city obviously knows they were wrong. They gave him $3 million, but he still was not convicted.
Yeah, I'm going to use this money for therapy. That's what I'm going to use this money for. I'm going to use this money for therapy for the rest of my life.
My goodness. All right. Well, that's front page news. Now, when we come back, Karen Civil will be joining us.
KC. Is it going to be Karen Civil or Karen Uncivil this morning?
I guess we'll have to find out. Now, if you don't know who Karen Civil is, she started off, she's from New Jersey. She started off as an intern and really worked her ass off and worked her way up.
Did she just get the key to the city in New Jersey?
Now Karen does everything. Mm-hmm. Building playgrounds in Haiti. All kind of stuff.
All right, so we'll talk to her when we come back. So don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We have a special guest in the building.
I don't know if it's Karen Civil or Karen Uncivil, though. Which one are we talking to right now?
Karen Civil.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And congratulations. You got your own day in Jersey?
We did official Live Civil Day, which was really exciting. So, you know, I have a whole setup in Haiti. Mm-hmm. We have Live Civil Day in Brooklyn every year, and it only made sense to bring it back to Elizabeth. So it was a very fun-filled day, and they surprised me with the key to the city.
Dope. So you got 3 days in 3 different places around the world.
Yes.
Drop on the clues bombs for Karen Civil. Jesus Christ.
Los Angeles next. Yeah, I'm excited.
And I see you on the cover of LA Weekly.
Yes.
How did this happen now? A Jersey girl on the cover of LA Weekly.
So interesting. They reached out to me. The young lady reached out to me, and she was just like, they interview 50 people every year for their annual issue. Mm-hmm. So when she interviewed me, we did it over the phone, and then they do these profile shots of you, usually like in your house or at work. So she's like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, well, I've been in Los Angeles the last 6 years, and I've been working with Nipsey, so I want to do it on Crenshaw. And she was like, okay, where? So I was like, yeah, let's do it in Nipsey's store. So when I pulled up, I'm like, just, you know, alluding that black girl magic.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah, and I just pulled up in the middle of the hood, and they were like, all right, okay.
Did you pull up in your Phantom?
Yeah, definitely pulled up. It's a rave.
Oh, rave. My fault. Yeah. My bad.
Car talk over here. Yeah, I pulled up, and she was just like, with the crown on, and they were like, what the hell is going on? And, you know, it's you know, mad urban area, and I didn't even know
the hood.
The hood. I was trying to say Karen, nice, but
Karen had her corporate voice on just now. urban area.
And then we went to the donut shop. Like, I was just taking her to the most random places, and then like maybe a month later, they tweeted out, and she's like, "I loved it so much, we gave you the cover."
That is dope. Now,
now what about people? What about people who say that you shouldn't be on there because you're not from LA?
Well, I can't really worry about, you know, critics and what other people have to say, because at the end of the day, it's a blessing that happened. I was absolutely just generally being myself, having fun with it, and I was just like, listen, don't take it up with me, take breaking up with L.A. Wiggly. They gave it to me.
We got to talk about another picture we seen you post that was outside of the Karen Uncivil box.
I know.
That's Karen Uncivil.
That's Karen Uncivil.
If you got people looking at you different, man. I've never heard guys, and this is the truth, say, I've never heard guys look at you in that sexual objectifying way.
I
heard somebody say Karen got ass.
No, I know it was.
What did they say? Heavy ass.
Karen has heavy ass.
That's what I heard. I was like, huh?
No, it was definitely.
What made you do that photo?
Okay, it was definitely weird. So, like, every year I always take different photos. Like, I have different theme photo shoots and stuff like that. And this year, my hair person, Phil on Hair, we just was going through different creative, doing different shoots. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I did a few other viral videos that kind of took off. People thought one was a Nicki video and things like that. We were just, you know, creating magic, creating certain things just about launching his brand, just kind of re-imaging myself and certain things. And we took that photo probably about a month and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yeah, let's just put it out. I'm like, let's do it. I mean, my counsel, my team was good, which is like, I call them my MMG.
Mm-hmm.
My mom, my man, and God was cool. So I was just like, I'm putting it out. I'm cool. And it was fun.
How many celebrities are in your DM trying to holler?
It's crazy because I used to search my name, and then this literally, like, I really did not care what anyone had to say because I'm so critical of myself. And Charlamagne, you can attest to this because I'm like, Charlamagne, oh my God. I'll always ask him for advice. I'm like, now I don't care. I'm like, it was something to talk about. Whether it was you loved it, you hate it, you saw it. So it's just like then. That night, I went to bed, and, like, the next day, I saw, like, Amber's post, which I appreciated, and it was just, like, I enjoyed it. I did it for me. Mm-hmm. It was for fun. I wasn't really worried about what everyone else had to say, but it was crazy, because people were like, yo, so-and-so asked me for your number. I was like, they want to do a civil TV, and they're like, nah. I was like, oh, I'm cool, but... Yeah, it was fun.
All right, we got more with Karen Uncivil. When we come back, we got to talk about her relationship with Nicki Minaj, a tweet that Meek put out there, and more. But right now, here's the game. It's Hate It or Love It. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Karen Uncivil's in the building. Now, Charlamagne?
I love what Nipsey's doing. I almost feel like Nipsey is sacrificing the fame he could have for entrepreneurship.
It's just like he has so much he wants to do. He's definitely working on his music, and he definitely has some stuff coming out, but it's just so much business that can be done, and that's just his work ethic. If you know his brother, if you know his dad, they just have that entrepreneurial spirit. So, you know, he's part of Destination Crenshaw right now. He's working on just so many other projects in LA that I can't officially talk about. Mm-hmm. But that's just him. He wants to be a part of it all. So, yeah. But he definitely has some music coming out.
Now, what's your relationship with Nicki Minaj?
What do you mean, per se?
I guess somebody wrote an article. I think Meek Mill said you were on her payroll.
It wasn't an article.
Like it's XXL magazine or something.
Oh.
It was an Instagram caption.
I think XXL wrote about it, too.
They got to stop. Now they're just like, Vanessa, you paying them way too much.
Well, Meek said that the blogs are working. You and some other blogs are working together to sabotage him.
So, everybody knows me and Meek had a great friendship, great relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it was crazy when I woke up, I saw the at, and it was just like, I saw him, you know, throw the shot, and I was just like, you know, I'm not catching this right now. I'm not reacting to it. I'm not taking it in. Because you have my phone number. If we're friends and it's a genuine situation like I always thought it was, you pick up the phone and you call me. You don't react and say these things on social media. And you're reacting off of, it was like a paid post or something that had nothing to do with me. So this isn't the first time somebody accused me of like being part of a blog thing. Before it was like somebody said I was part of a Blogonati. It was like me, Angela.
Bossip.
Yeah. And like two other sites. So it's just, I have a respect for other blogs. I don't have a problem with anyone. You know, we all at the end of the day are still, it's a business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the websites, blogs, Instagrams, all these things are businesses. I don't have a problem. I'm not going to stop Meek from doing anything or be a part of trying to harm him. Anything people have been posting about him is things that he posted on his own page and they kind of just reposted. But, you know, I'm going to continue to just wish the best for him. I always want to see him win. I always want to see him do well, but it's an unfortunate situation. I'm in a whole new space. So it's just like, I saw it and I was like, I don't really care. We know each other's phone number and we're not doing this for social media.
Gotcha. Were you forced to pick a side though? Because you were cool with Meek and Nicki, and then when they broke up,
I mean, I necessarily didn't feel like, you know, I had to choose a side, because I've been in many instances where I have great relationships with people who may have not necessarily got along.
Right.
Because leave it to me, when I get married, Wayne and Pusha T is in the wedding party. Right. You know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's.
Man, it is, how that's going to work?
No, it is going to work.
You're going to have a fight at your wedding?
No, it is going to work. Yeah, but.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going
to
work.
No, it is. But it's just like, it's certain things I didn't feel like I had to. One thing I will say is, you know, it's being misconstrued that, oh, Nicki is, like I've read, Nicki is paying her to do all of this. I'm going to just say, when it comes to the Young Money family in general, to Mac, Maine, and Wayne, a lot of my career success I owe to them. They mm-hmm. gave me an opportunity to start. They gave me a chance when I started my Always Civil Enterprise business, when I went to Beats, my first book. Everything I have done, everything that has successfully happened to me, they've somehow helped make happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, even when I, you know, when me, Nipsey, Jorge, and Steve decides to collectively create this marathon agency, this was sometime last year, you know, it's all new clients, it's working with new people, it's a whole new marketing thing, it's no longer having my business. Nicki was one of the first people who reached out to me, asked me to come to the studio, and was like, what are you working on, what are you doing? Just asking me about myself, just mm-hmm. my well-being. It wasn't a he said, she said, whatever. She naturally, generally, just was, you know, wanted to progress in a business sense. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we're working on things I don't really want to even fully discuss. That's bigger than social media and things mm-hmm. like that. And I tip my hat off to her, because she didn't have to do that. She can work with so many other people. She reached out to me, and I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Young Money family has always been incredible to me, especially Mac Maine and Wayne. So,
what happened with this alleged confrontation with Remy? Like, they say Remy approached you because of your relationship with Nicki? Or?
No, and it was, you know, it was weird when I saw the meme, and, you know, I didn't think it was a big deal. And I was like, it's part of culture. So I was like, all right, I could be a meme. But then somebody actually called me like the next day, like, did something happen with you and Remy? I was like, oh, people really believe that? Cause, you know, it was like a little Kim fan, like, kind of edited the photo and added certain things. And then the sites who don't like me added their twos, like, probably made a story around it. So it was for Women on the Move. I sit on the board for that. We had a speaking engagement every year we do at NYU.
Mm-hmm.
So they had Remy come in last minute. And we had a conversation in the hallway. We were talking about social media, and she was just like, you know, talking about different blogs and light conversation. And the next thing I know, they took this, it was like 10 pictures. They took this, like, one thing, and they were like, oh, it was a confrontation, it was this, and it was that. And I'm like, it was like a video of her saying, like, you know, before she came out, we actually spoke on the phone and tried to work, but it didn't, you know, it didn't manifest, it didn't happen, whatever the case may be. But, you know, I don't necessarily have no issues with her.
And there's no, like, altercation, no argument.
Yeah, there was, like, no altercation, no argument. That's why I didn't. Like, I tweeted, like, all the photos and didn't think much of it and just went about my day. But I felt like it was just going to live in social media. It was, like, one of those things, like, it's a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people mm-hmm. just think it's funny. You got to just let it live. So that's just what I did. I didn't really care.
You still got a passion for, like, hip-hop? Because you do so much different mm-hmm. stuff.
No, I do. I mean, you know, I have a collective team who does the whole KarenCivil.com stuff. They're really super passionate to mm-hmm. keep the site going. But I just have a lot of avenues and different things that I'm working on. But my passion right now is to continue, you know, integrating millennials, urban culture, and luxury brands, and just premium items. So just kind of just bring everything together the same way, you know, Hillary and Pusha T standing on a stage together, Louis Vuitton and YG, like all those different kind of things.
Well, congratulations on all that success.
Thank you. Thank
you. We see you grind from the bottom.
Yes. Thank you.
And we appreciate you for stopping by.
Oh, thank you so much
for
having
me. We covered everything.
Yes, this is my annual, like, I come once a year. We always talk beef. We always give back.
Yeah, Karen Civil stated the address.
That's all he said. He wanted some grill.
By the way,
oh, we had a thing yesterday. The chef flew in from Haiti. It was nice. It was really, really nice. If I would have known, I would have invited you. But you don't even got on the headphones I like.
Wow.
I don't even know. Look at Envy. Don't look at me. Look at Envy. Direct that towards Envy. But we make something happen. He's probably still here. Because your Louis plug will turn off real fast.
Well, there you have it. It's Karen Civil at the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Well, over the weekend, Kodak Black was on his Instagram Live, and he was talking about what he likes and what he doesn't like. Here's what he said.
Kiki Palmer, she's great. I bad, but you know what I'm saying? I don't really like black girls like that. Sort of, kind of.
All right. Well, apparently people started going in on him on social media.
After that went viral.
And here's what he said as an explanation. It didn't really work out too well.
You ain't gonna be dissing me under my comments. I ain't even gonna play the one. Don't even comment on my shit. Whatever. You talking about black woman. Bitch, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? I don't like red bones. I love black African Americans, but I don't like black bitches. I like yellow hoes. So that's my preference. So motherfuck you.
Terrible cleanup.
I refuse to believe that black women care what Kodak Black thinks about them. I can't think of any black woman that I know and communicate with on a daily basis that is waking up this morning having a bad day because they are not Kodak Black's preference.
Well, I think people just want to make sure they make it very clear that they don't want to support somebody who would say something like that.
I don't think that they were supporting Kodak Black to begin with, okay? Go on, chase your little rat bones then, Kodak Black. The dark bones would be just fine without you, okay? Why do we say that? Red bone, dog bone. Well, we don't say dog bone.
Yeah, no one says dog bone.
Why do we say red bone? Bones ain't red. All bones are white, okay? Or beige, whatever color it is.
Right, well, of course, this was definitely something that a lot of people had to comment on. I was telling you, I looked on the Shade Room, it had like 19,000 comments.
Because people getting upset for no damn reason. Who cares what Kodak Black thinks?
Well, if anybody wants to leave a comment and say what they have to say in response to him, they're free to do so.
I'm sure
if they're offended by it, you're free to be offended.
Right. I'm sure 95% of those comments are Kodak Black is trash. All right. Period.
All right. Congratulations to Beyonce and Jay-Z. Their twins are out of the hospital and at home in Malibu. They were there for a week and a half after they were born, but now, fortunately, because they were born prematurely. But now they are doing well, and they'll be spending the summer at the estate, according to the Daily Mail, as they reported.
That doesn't even sound right. Jay-Z's kids in Malibu. Should be in Brooklyn. I'm about to say Marthy.
No, I don't know.
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. they're still looking for a crib. They said their budget for a new crib is $75 million. They haven't been able to find one.
And they haven't been able to find one yet.
Crazy.
They put in offers. They haven't gotten a house yet.
Yeah, because I'm
is
sure
there's
so many $75 million houses in America.
They can't find one in LA.
Drop
that's
one
crazy.
Of clues bombs for the Carters.
So they're renting a house. It's $400,000 a week.
The problem is,
Is that a tax write-off?
I don't know.
Part of it, I'm sure.
I don't know if it's... that's a
the real problem is the Carters want a castle. All right, and it's not a lot of castles in America.
Oh, so they're waiting for, that one castle
built, okay?
All right.
All right, now this was unfortunate. Jeez. Justine Kish, do you know who that is?
Nope.
No.
She's a UFC fighter, and while she was having her match on Sunday, she pooted on herself.
Round of applause to her. Drop a person, round of applause to her.
Did that help her?
It did not. She still lost.
Uh-oh.
And she tweeted out, "Ish happens," after that video went viral yesterday as she was struggling during that match. Oh. And, yeah, she was... It's not doing so well. She said, "I'm a warrior and I will never quit. I'll be back soon."
Whoever beat her is really good. Because you imagine putting her in a dope fiend and then that smell and the diarrhea coming.
Well, actually, the woman that beat her says that she doesn't want people to give her so much flack on social media because she does really like her. And I actually Googled it. And by the way, this is not something that's never happened before during a UFC match. It has. So they actually have video footage of other people this happens to. So I guess when people say, "I almost ished myself," it's a real thing. Something crazy.
And that's hilarious because somebody beating on you and you like, "Listen, I gotta go." And then they don't believe you, so they gotta, nope, you're gonna have to tap out and poop
out.
Oh,
look at that. You can see, oh,
I'm not looking
at
that.
All over.
You can see the dude's
I just wonder, can you get disqualified for something like
funny.
That? Like, is that a reason to say, "This match is over, this is not"?
Nah, you tapped out.
That is crazy. I would use
you
that again. I would use that for me. I would start taking it and throw it in my
You tapped
face.
Out, you tapped it's out, there. You tapped out, and you crapped out.
Right. All right, and Spike Lee, She's Gotta Have It. We told you that that's going to be on Netflix. It's been adapted into a television series where they have given it a release date. It's going to be all 10 episodes on Netflix on November 23rd. So if you guys want to check that out. And that movie was actually the first movie that Spike Lee directed. So it's nice that he's now, that was back in 1986. So just imagine now it's going to be a series on Netflix. Now here's an update on the fight that happened between Migos and Chris Brown. I'm sure you guys saw the new footage that has emerged of this little scuffle that happened. And they are now saying that Future was there when it happened. And DJ Khaled was there as well with his fiance and his son, Asad. And you can hear her screaming also, just let's get out of here, get away, let's go. So that's
I don't think you guys realize how much etiquette the Migos have.
What you mean?
Like Offset, you know, was calmly rolling up his sleeves in case there was a kerfuffle when it came time to possibly put the beats on Joe Budden's. And when they was walking out of the venue after the Chris Brown scuffle, they just looked so elegant. Elegant.
Elegant.
Just walking around. It was kind of like floating, just waiting for something to jump off.
Now, I will say this, according to witnesses, they said someone in Chris Brown's crew actually threw the first punch. And you can see Chris Brown didn't throw any punches or anything, and they got him out of there as well. All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee.
I was born a donkey.
It's the donkey of the day.
That's pretty
funny.
Charlamagne the devil?
Possibly. The Breakfast Club.
Yes, donkey today for Tuesday, June 27th goes to John McEnroe. Now, do you know who John McEnroe is, kids? He's a 58-year-old OG in the tennis world. He's considered one of the greatest tennis players ever. And if anyone is qualified to be an authority on tennis, it's him. He's got the experience and knowledge of the game that a lot of us simply don't have. So when he tells us something about tennis, we really have no choice but to listen. That was until his latest comments about Serena Williams. Now, I don't watch tennis. I personally think tennis is trash, okay? Ooh. Outside of Venus and Serena, it's trash. Just my opinion. But I have paid attention enough to know that not only is Serena Williams one of, you know, the greatest tennis... No, Serena Williams is the greatest tennis player of all time. She's one of the greatest athletes of all time, period, as well. Notice I didn't have to qualify that. I didn't say female tennis player or female athlete. Just greatest athlete of all time, greatest tennis player of all time, period. Well, John McEnroe doesn't agree. He was talking on NPR with Lulu Navarro, and he had this to say about Serena Williams.
Best female player ever, no question. If she played the men's circuit, she'd be like 700 in the world. That doesn't mean I don't think Serena's like an incredible player. I do, but there's, you know, the reality of what would happen on a given day, Serena could beat some players, I believe, because she's so incredibly strong mentally. But if she had to just play the circuit, the men's circuit, that would be an entirely different story.
John McEnroe, really?
Look, you can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
No, I don't throw around the word sexist and misogynistic too often, but I'm pretty sure this is a great example of that. Okay, you're telling me that Serena Williams, the owner of 23 Grand Slam titles, a woman who has the third highest career earnings of any tennis player, male or female, the oldest player to win a Grand Slam singles title after she won one this year back in January. I mean, I am literally holding in my hand like six pages. Okay, six whole pages of accomplishments from Serena Williams. It's overwhelming. In 2012, you know, Wimbledon, in her semifinals match, she hit a record 24 aces in one match. She's been Associated Press Female Athlete of the Year four times. She's been WTA Player of the Year seven times. She's been Female Athlete of the Year at the BET Awards 11 times. Okay? That may mean nothing to John McEnroe, but it means something to me, damn it. All I'm trying to say is the most decorated tennis player of all time, Serena Williams, in your eyes would be ranked 700th. And she had to play with the men. I had no idea it was 700 professional tennis players in the world. All right, it's more professional tennis players than it is NBA players. But the 700th player in the world on the men's tour right now, let me put this in perspective for y'all. The 700th player in the world on the men's tour right now, how you pronounce his name?
Assam Tawil
of Egypt. All right. He's 27 years old with no career titles. Zero. You comparing Serena Williams, who has 23 Grand Slam titles, to a man who has zero career titles. John McEnroe, cover up. Your sexism is showing. Okay, Serena Williams actually addressed this type of misogyny on Good Morning America back in December of 2016. Let's flash back to what she had to say.
Being a woman is just a whole new set of problems from society that you have to deal with as well. If I were a man, I would have 100% been considered the greatest ever long time ago.
And that's that, folks. It's really that simple. If Serena Williams was a man with these kind of accomplishments and accolades, she would be considered the greatest tennis player of all time, period. Wouldn't even be close. Okay, for John McEnroe to have the audacity, the unmitigated gall to say at some point a woman's tennis player can be better than anybody and outshine the males, but just not now? No. At some point, dear John, that some point you're talking about is right now, currently, the present, today. And her name is Serena Williams. Please give John McEnroe the biggest hee-haw, please. Now, of course, John McEnroe has been getting slandered relentlessly on social media, and rightfully so, but he has responded to all the backlash. Let's hear what John McEnroe had to say, please.
You ain't gonna be dissing me under my comments. I ain't gonna play the one. Don't even comment on my shit. Whatever, you talking about black woman, bitch, f*** you, you know what I'm saying? I don't look like black bitches.
Whoa, John, relax.
Goodness gracious.
Why, John, why so harsh?
Goodness gracious. All wow. Right. Thank you for that donkey today. Well deserved. Now, when we come back, X-Files, 800-585-1051. All right, now, this is where we open up the phone lines, and we want to know about your ex, all right? If he or she is somebody you shouldn't date. You
warn
want to put them
the
on
world.
Blast. You want to warn the world about your ex? 800-585-1051. No last names. Just first names and where they're from.
You know the motto. The motto is for X-Files. One person's trash is simply just another person's trash, and everybody needs to be made aware of the trash that's out there. We've reintroduced people to don'tdatem.com, too. I get tweets and texts all the time about there really is a site called don'tdatem.com.
Yes.
Yes.
So 800-585-1051.
I know some people that were on there.
Warn us about your ex. Call us up right now. Maybe he's abusive. Maybe he's a cheater. Maybe he stole some money from you.
Maybe he's Kodak Black.
Or maybe he's Kodak Black. 800-585-1051 is The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for X-Files. That's where we open up the phone lines, 800-585-1051. Tell us about your ex. Was your ex abusive? Did he or she steal? Was they a liar? Call us up right now. Tell us about your ex. We have Danielle on the line. Danielle, good morning.
Good morning. Oh, sorry, guys.
Now, your ex is an F-boy. Why is he an F-boy?
Because we broke up twice. And I normally don't give a person a second chance in my life, but I did with him. And every time we broke up, he would do little petty stuff, like break stuff in my house, tear up TVs.
No.
He would turn over milk and eggs in the refrigerator, so I would have to clean it up.
Definitely an F-boy.
What is wrong with him?
Yes, that's why I call him an F-boy. He's just a bitter, grown man that he can't stand a successful relationship.
Did you ever challenge him to any kerfuffles?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. What's his name?
I just wanted to let the world know. His name is Joe.
Joe from where?
Crescent City, Florida.
Crescent City, Florida. Okay, thank you, Mama.
All right.
Arietta?
Yes.
Now tell us about your ex.
Oh, my God. First, I wish I could tell his whole name. Oh, my God. But anyway, the way he gets the girls is he uses his daughter, because that's how he got to me. And he was like, okay, I want you to be a babysitter. So I'm like, cool, okay, you know, I'll babysit your daughter. Then we started dating. That crap ain't work out because this wanted to move with me. Like, while I babysit his daughter, like, I can't babysit you and your daughter. And I'm like, we started dating, right? We started dating for like 3 freaking weeks. The worst 3 weeks of my life. And I dismissed him. I'm like, listen, I can't deal with you no more. I mean, like, I love your daughter. She's cool, but you are aggravating.
So he started off hiring you as the babysitter. Then he tried to move in with you and date you.
Then the shocker, when we stopped talking, this man literally started, as soon as you started dating my best friend that stayed across the hall from me, literally moved in her house, and me and her stopped talking for like a week, but we grown. So
he just needed a place to stay, basically.
Yes, and then me and her talked about it. It was dead. Tell me why. And then during this whole process of him going from me to her,
this man had a whole a woman somewhere else. And I'm like, well, baby girl, where was your antennas at when your man right here called us all this hell?
Wow.
Like, he brought hell to her. He brought hell to me. I was like, during, it was a hurricane going on in Palm Beach County because I'm from Florida. Hey.
Wow.
It was a hurricane going on.
I'm starting to believe Charlamagne when he says all crazy people are from Florida.
I don't know when y'all going to listen to me. I keep telling y'all, all the craziest people in America is in the Bronx and all of Florida. I don't know when y'all going to realize that.
Tony, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Tony, now, your ex is crazy, Tony?
Yeah, my ex is crazy. What happened was we was going out for about 2 years, right? You know, on and off, you know, regular stuff. She told me she was pregnant. She got pregnant. And then, you know, a couple weeks after that, she told me that she had a miscarriage. Now, I don't know if she had a miscarriage or an abortion, because right after that, she blocked me on everything. She blocked my, you know, my phone calls. She blocked my text messages, Facebook. You know, I
just after she said she had a miscarriage, she just blocked you. Nothing else happened.
Yeah, she just blocked me. She was mad. Apparently, she felt like I wasn't supporting her enough. Just a simple fact that I wasn't like searching up, like doing all the research about, you know, babies and stuff like that. Mind you, I already have a kid. He's 7 years old. But she wanted me to, you know, like get the apps and everything like that and tell her like what she should do and everything. But I was supporting her in other ways. I was supporting her, you know, financially. I was trying to get her, you know, ice cream whenever I can. I was trying to cook for her. You know, I was just trying to support her, you know, emotionally and mentally. If she wanted me to actually show, like, tell her how she should carry the baby and everything like that.
Wow. So after she had the, after she lost the baby, deleted him. He hung up. He deleted her on everything.
I need y'all to understand.
Say the name first and foremost.
That's the point of X-Files. Like, she got to say her name first and foremost, his name first and foremost.
All right. 800-585-1051. X-Files, warn us about your ex. Call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Everybody, is DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of X-Files. Call us up right now. Warn us about your ex. We need to put the world on to how bad your ex was, so they won't date him. Rico!
What up, Angie?
What's up, bro?
Hey. So
let's start off with telling us your ex's name, man.
Hey.
What's your ex's name and where they from?
Treece, she from Cleveland.
Okay, now what happened?
Man, look, I had proposed to this damn girl. She got me for a ring, like 10 bands, a motorcycle, my car.
Damn.
Put me in jail at the end of the day,
what?
Man. Trying to give me robbery cases because I have my bike and my car in her name. Hey, man, I sat in jail like a whole month fighting this case, trying to tell them I ain't robber or nothing. This is my stuff. I just put it out of my house because I was tired of it. She was a gold digger. I got hit by one.
So you were really, really in love with her, though?
Sure was.
Yeah, I was really, really in love with her. I took care of her daughter. I was with her for like 6 years.
Oh,
I was with her
daughter
for like 9 months.
How did this go so left?
How I go so left? She is a gold digger. She was out for my money. For real, she was out for my. Everybody was telling me, but I was blinded for real because I had custody of my kids and she was holding me down. Mm. But she was only holding me down to get money. But me and my son rolled by the other day. It was so funny. We rolled by on the freeway. So she was in a white Monte Carlo. It looked so dirty. It was so old. So me and my son ride by her. So we look at the same time because the car going so slow. We go around the car. He like, ooh, that's Chase. I'm like, let's get away. He's like, Daddy, drop the top so she can see us. I'm like, no.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
Goodness gracious. Alex,
at least
good
he
morning.
Got out of there.
Yeah.
Alex, come on. Now, you from Houston. Your ex tried to hit you because what?
He wanted me to get rid of the baby. He kept talking about there was no way I was going to be his first baby mama.
What is your Instagram?
I
need to see what you
one.
Look like. I need to know why he didn't want you to be the first baby mama.
My Instagram is, if I remember correctly, at Miss Allie Baby.
Miss Allie Baby. I can tell you why he didn't want you to be the first baby mama, though.
Why?
Because you was the side chick. So he had a main girl, so he couldn't get you pregnant.
That's
you
what
got...
I think.
I ain't know what you think. That's what
because
I know.
Because he ended Miss up Allie marrying baby. The girl he cheated on me with.
What's his name?
Avery.
Well, guess what? Does she know what you know? That he's a cheater?
I don't think she knows. Well, she has to know because now she knows about my child because I found her on Facebook.
Oh, you hit
her
up.
Oh, you did have the baby.
Wow.
Yeah, I kept the baby. We have an almost 2-year-old daughter.
Dang.
Wow.
Who he's never claimed, never done anything for, but he's joined the military and won't send a dime.
Wow.
Damn, that's sad.
Won't say his name again?
Avery.
Hello, who's this?
Hello.
Hey, what's your name?
I'd rather remain anonymous.
Okay, all right. Now tell us about your ex-husband and why nobody should date him.
Oh, my God. He is such a deadbeat. During the time that we were married, the only thing he ever bought our son were diapers and wipes. And then when I left and filed for support, he opened a GoFundMe account where he was put on child support.
I don't like how you said only diapers and wipes. Like, diapers and wipes are not important and essential to a young baby's
upbringing. They are. But he wanted to wait for people to give him gifts to clothe him. He didn't even want to buy him formula.
Wow. All right.
What's his name?
They know him as P. Breezy on the streets.
A paralegal
who earned about $98,000 a year, collected $6,000 on GoFundMe.
Jeez. Wow. I'm sorry for you, Mama.
That shouldn't be legal.
All right, well, X-Files, there you have it. 800-585-1051. We do it each and every Tuesday. You can call us up here and warn us about your ex.
Yes, always remember that one person's trash is just another person's trash. And sometimes we have to be made aware of that trash.
All right. Well, we got rumors on the way, Yee?
Yes, let's talk about 2 Chainz, Pretty Girls Like Trap Music, which, by the way, I love that album. We'll tell you how it did in the first week, plus Young Thug's album as well. Easy, breezy, beautiful Thugger Girls.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Yes, morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk 2 Chainz.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yo.
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is the rumor report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Yes, so 2 Chainz, Pretty Girls Like Trap Music. I've been listening to that in my car for the past week. Actually sold 106,000 in the first week, so congratulations to 2 Chainz.
How much? Drop on the cruise bomb for 2 Chainz.
How much you say?
106,000.
Wow. Congrats.
I haven't really gotten into the Pretty Girls Love Trap Music album yet. I listened to like the first couple of records. Dope tunes.
Shout to 2
But
Chainz.
I haven't listened to the whole album yet.
It's a great album.
I'm happy for him. Shout to 2 Chainz.
Yeah, I've been working. I'm going to get into the gym today and listen to the album, though.
Now, Young Thug's Beautiful Thugger Girls sold 37,000. So both albums made the top 10. 2 Chainz was number 2, and Young Thug was number 8.
So big difference between 37,000 and 106,000, though.
Mm-hmm.
Salute to that boy, 2 Chainz.
All right.
And 2 Chainz is age-appropriate hip-hop, too, by the way. I know that he makes trap music, but let's not get it messed up. He's a grown-ass adult.
All right, now let's get into Mike Epps. His granddaughter actually came on stage. She's a comedian as well and performed. Here is Mike Epps introducing her.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Boo.
Boo.
What's the line
for? Yeah. We're getting a little routine going. I love you.
Love you too.
That boo-hoo joke was funny.
He said she got more laughs than he did.
That's funny.
And then he said she also had the nerve to ask how much she's getting paid after she got off the stage.
But it's funny coming from a toddler.
Right,
it's cute. I don't think Mike Epps could do that joke.
Yeah, an adult couldn't get that off.
All right, let's talk about more jokes. Drake was hosting the NBA Awards last night, and the Most Valuable Player Award, by the way, went to Russell Westbrook, who also got the Best Dressed Award as well. Now, he had some back and forth with Kenny the Jet Smith. Here is what Kenny Smith had to say about Drake.
That was great material by Drake, but we had a question. Did he write it?
Drop on a clues bomb for Kenny Smith, damn it.
Now, Drake responded. Here's what he said.
Kenny, somebody just told me about your writing joke backstage. It's wise words from the most expendable member of the TNT crew.
Drop on a clues bomb for Drake. I mean, the tit for tat is amazing. You know, because Kenny Smith is, when I thought about it, he is the most expendable member of that show. Because you got Charles, you got Shaq, you got Ernie. He can replace Kenny.
All right, well, Drake also had jokes throughout the night. Here are some of his one-liners.
We got Allen Iverson in here somewhere, probably on a super casual vibe, just connecting with some old friends, you know. Got the Brooklyn Nets in here trying to get verified on Instagram tonight. It's a lot of blue checks coming your way, boys, I promise. I'm legit excited for y'all. Draymond Green stopped kicking people in the groin and moved on to something much worse, his own podcast. It's a tough listen. LeBron James recently went bald and social media had an absolute... Oh, sorry. This is a joke from 2007. We're going to keep it rolling.
Slow down, Drake. Slow down, money. He's speeding a little bit. Gotta let those things land. You know
and
what
he
mean?
Is an actor by nature. He does a great job when he does Saturday Night Live and everything. But I'm sure he was a little nervous. I mean, it's the NBA Awards, and
For
he's a
what?
Huge sports fan.
He's done the ESPYs. He's done SNL.
I'm sure he was nervous doing all of them.
He's done that several times already. He just was speeding, that's all.
He was going so quick. All right, and let's discuss this Hamilton challenge that Lin-Manuel Miranda is doing. It's the hashtag Ham for All challenge. Now, all you have to do is sing your Hamilton song, a song from Hamilton, and post it online with the hashtag, Ham4, that's the number 4, all, and donate to Immigrants We Get the Job Done Coalition. A $10 donation will get you the chance to win 2 VIP tickets to Hamilton's opening night in L.A. on August 16th. Here is Steph Curry and Aisha Curry taking part of the Hamilton Challenge.
I challenge Olivia Munn.
And I challenge The Rock to make a donation and sing your favorite Hamilton song.
I've been reading Common Sense by Thomas Paine. So men say that I'm intense, so I'm insane. You want a revolution, I want a revelation. So listen to my declaration.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
So when I meet Thomas Jefferson, I'ma compel him to include women in the sequel.
Work!
All right, I'm so gonna be honest with you.
I loved Hamilton, the play, but I could not remember not one song from Hamilton. I just know that it was amazing. But if you ask me to quote something from there right now, I could not do it.
Right. Well, you know.
It's not happening.
I guess you could always print out the lyrics or pick a song that's your favorite song.
And do it yourself, right.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your Rumor Report.
Salute to my guy, Irv Gotti, man. Drop one of Clues Bombs for Irv Gotti. Tales premieres tonight on BET at 8 p.m. I have seen the first episode. It's a 2-hour premiere. I really want everybody to tune in tonight because I'm really interested on what people's take will be on the first episode of Tales.
Explain Tales to people because, you know, when the BET Awards was on, it seems like they mixed a bunch of episodes in one preview, and it was very confusing to a lot of people.
Well, basically, Irv Gotti is taking classic hip-hop records, and he's turning these hip-hop records into scripted shows.
Right.
Okay? So it'll be, like, the first episode is F the Police by N.W.A., and the way he flipped it,
I
just really can't wait to see what the reaction will be on social media tonight. But tonight, 8 p.m. on BET. We need white people to tune in, too.